flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Gillespie right to the paint. Off it goes to Julian. Lays it off the glass. Bangs it off the glass for two more. And he runs to the defender. Queen will get the pass, go inside, and he jams it home with both hands.
That's a grown man right there.
21-point lead for the Terps, 86-65.
We knew they were down, the big kid, and it was like, all right, they're going to put a freshman out there. Don't even think about shooting threes. Like, just throw it in. Don't shoot threes. You know, their defense forces you to take pull-up jumpers. I said, guys, we're in a great position. This is where we are. This is what we've done all year. Just keep pounding it inside. I said, eventually we're going to knock some threes down. Eventually, we'll get on the break and get something easy. I said, but we just got to stay the course.
I feel like when games like that, when me and him got double-double and double figures, it's hard for us to lose. You know, especially we attacking the boards like we did today against another good rebounding team in Illinois. We just keep doing that, we'll be good.
That's Maryland. Julian Reese, who was brilliant last night, heard from Kevin Willard as well. Terps win. Signature win. Yes, Ivasich didn't play. He was sick. Get all of that. Start with this. It's got nothing to do with anything related to sports. Full disclosure, computer here on my left side is rebooting, like resetting, or what they call updating, which takes like up to an hour at some point in time. So I'm trying to get on the right-handed side, and I'm left-handed for those who may not know. And it is totally blowing my mind because I could throw a baseball 40 feet, I would think, right-handed if you offered me money to do so. But I can't navigate a mouse pad for some reason. So it's like, it's kind of freaking me out. In a good way, I find it humorous because, you know, I would think I'm rather above average intelligence. I do dumb stuff, but and I think we're kind of moving forward there. So there we go. So Maryland wins last night. Signature win, if you want to call it that, 91-70. Over Illinois, and the big kid, as Kevin Willard referred to him, Tomislav Ivasic, was sick, didn't play. Got sick against Michigan State in the previous game. But Maryland dominated them for pretty much most of the game. Terps took the lead about 5 minutes into the first half and never really looked back. They were up 11 in the first half, and then all of a sudden, Illinois got it in there because this kid, Yakovonishis, or whatever his name is, he's good at drawing fouls, that Euro step, you lean in, initiate contact. So he was keeping him in. Then Maryland went up 12 or 11 in the second half with about 12 minutes left. And within a minute and 22, they cut it to 3. And then Jacoby Gillespie, who was brilliant, he bangs a 3. And then Maryland kind of never looked back from there. It's a game in which Maryland only made 3 threes. And in this day and age of college basketball, to win a game on the road against a ranked team by 21 points and only Nolan get in here, hit 3 threes, It's an incredible accomplishment. What Maryland did do, as we heard from Kevin Willard, 62 points in the paint. Derek Queen and Julian Reese were brilliant. Outscored the Fighting Illini by almost 30 points in the paint. Now, Terps got their foul shots, of course, but only three threes were made. Didn't even hit one until the end of the first half. Basically, just dominated that game. And we heard from Julian Reese, and we'll talk to Keith Cavanaugh later in the show. His evolution as a ball player, skinny, couldn't finish with contact, hands were a little bit bad. We've seen that for the first couple years of his career. But this season, all right, he gets the fumbling of the pass once in a blue moon. But he finishes with contact. And what he's really improved upon, as we talked about with Kevin Willard on Tuesday, makes his foul shots. So when he does get contact and he gets the end ones, he makes the play complete, shooting around 70%. He's got hitting 50% last year like he had never shot a basketball before. Is it the most beautiful display of free throw shooting? No, because the shot's still a little off from a left-handed perspective. But he makes them. And what he's also added to the repertoire, spin moves, floaters in the paint, he has just added an arsenal to his offense that has made him one of the more tougher to defend big guys in the conference. And last night, 17 boards to go with it, he was brilliant. Julian Reese was outstanding last night, and we tipped the cap to the Baltimore kid for playing his ass off on the road. Hey, if they're shorthanded, that's their problem. Take advantage of your strength, and that's exactly what Maryland did. And he set the tempo early and continued throughout the course of the game.
Well, it's especially encouraging to me because their loss from last week against Northwestern. You know, again, one of those road matchups where they weren't favored, or they were favored very slim. So going in, you thought, okay, this is a game that they could lose, and they did. They, you know, faded down the stretch, but what aggravated me in that one is Julian Reese started so hot, and he was getting anything he wanted in the paint, and he had a ton of free throw attempts early in that game, and they just got away from him in the second half. Completely just got away from everything that was working and allowed Northwestern to come back and win. And last night, you heard Willard say it right there. That's what I love the most, is that, hey, we're not hitting threes. Who cares? We don't need to. Keep pounding these guys inside. You can win that way. We can continue to win. It's not just a last night thing. They can continue to win that way.
Sure.
And they should. So stick with what you do best. And you got to tip your cap to Gillespie as well, because there's been games where he's been absent before.
He's had one really bad game at Washington, but he's been pretty steady, and he was great last night.
But I feel like they kind of go as he goes sometimes, and he's an early game tone setter for them. You know, he wasn't as great as Reese or Queen. He wasn't as dominant as them, but certainly a big part as usual.
Well, as Illinois was coming back in the second half, he drained that three near the end of the shot clock, put it back up six, and Maryland never really looked back from there. So he's been brought in as a transfer from Belmont. Derek Queen was outstanding last night as well, scoring in the paint. He runs, he doesn't look like a gazelle, and I'm not saying he runs like Joe Smith used to or Giannis does now, but he can get down the floor. Real crafty with his ball handling skills. He can make that play. He's a good foul shooter, right? 75-76%. He came to play last night. And maybe, and we talked to Kevin on a Tuesday, I mean, the bullseye's on him, and he didn't play all that great against Nebraska, and he's had gaffes. He sucked against Washington just like Gillespie did, but he came to play last night, and he was kind of a man among boys at times in Champaign.
And hopefully a big, I don't want to say learning lesson game for him, but, I mean, that's who you can be. And he dominated, you know, non-conference games early in the season, but let's be honest, there was just a physical mismatch in a lot of those. Opposing teams just didn't have anyone that could hang with a guy like Derek Queen. But you get into the Big Ten, a lot of good big men in the Big Ten. So to have a duo that's going to dominate like that, there's still moments last night where Queen showed his freshman tendencies at times, you know, looking for a foul, kind of turn and look at the ref. Hey, where was that? You know, let's get away from that. You went 10 of 13. You don't need any extra help. You're dominant on your own.
First win on the road this year for Maryland, 1-5 on the year, but it's a quad one win, which certainly helps their cause. So the Terps, big win for them last night. Illinois somewhat shorthanded, but they still had a loaded roster as they take it on the chin big time at home. Now the Terps go to Indiana on Sunday. The Hoosiers, they're a sketchy team. That's a team, by the way, that Illinois beat by 30 at Bloomington. They just lost blowing a lead Indiana did at Northwestern, who's now showing somewhat of a pulse. So that was the most impressive win of the season by far for the University of Maryland. Now they just have to stack them. Because if they lose at Bloomington, the loss hurts. The win still matters. But you come back winning two in a row. Well, three in a row if you count the Nebraska. And then Wisconsin comes to town on Wednesday night. Ranked team. Now you're stacking a little bit of a no longer bubble resume. Now you're building, are you a five seed? Because net rankings have them number 24, which would put them at a sixth seed, which doesn't necessarily mean that's what it'll be.
Yeah, big week for Kevin Willard's team. Are they turning the corner? Because I'm not willing to fully buy in on them being a team that I see as improving steadily if they don't beat Indiana. It doesn't completely void last night, but it would be pretty damaging because, again, Indiana, they're fighting for their life right now. And maybe a desperate team is a more dangerous team, but still, it is on the road. But that fan base, that crowd, if they fall behind early, they're going to turn on the team. They've already seen it this year.
They want Mike Woodson out of there yesterday.
Fire the head coach. So, this isn't going to be like a road environment where they're against you the entire time. If you come out swinging, they might fold quickly.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Nolan McGraw here on this Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in a couple of minutes. So the Terps win last night. You want to praise? That's fine. You want to say, hey, they were down a player? That's fine, too. Win is all that matters. Championship games coming up Sunday in the National Football League as the Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Commanders get it on round three. It's in Philly. Philly 6-point favorites. Hurts got hurt in the second game. Washington turned it over five times, still won. Who's got the advantage here with momentum, Vinny, moving in?
I would say that Philly, they got the home field. Washington's going to come in, and they're going to feel good about themselves because of Jaden Daniels, McLaren. But I think that if Philly can start fast, I think that'll hurt Washington. But if Jaden Daniels comes out hot and they move the ball, then it's going to be a tight game. But I do think Philly's defense, and I think Vic Fangio is a very good defensive coordinator. I think he'll have something just because third time they played. So I think it's going to be, I would be shocked if Philly didn't win. I kind of hope Washington wins, but I think Philly wins.
And then you have Buffalo, Kansas City. Vinny's going to do film study of both games. We'll start with the AFC at 10:30. Another rematch here. Buffalo wins in November 30-21, I should say, over Kansas City, which was the first loss of the season for the Chiefs. The dilemma the Bills have, they can beat Kansas City during the regular season, and they've done it in Kansas City. 0-3. In the playoffs, Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. You want to get into that? We can. Ravens season is over. We've discussed. We're going to start looking at grades for this Ravens team as the show rolls on. We're less than a month away. Pitchers and catchers for the Orioles. David Rubenstein said he wants a salary cap in Major League Baseball, and the Orioles have expanded payroll. So that is what it is. I think the Orioles still have a really good team on paper, but they play the games on the field. We can vent about them or have anything you want to feel good about. It's Featured Artist Friday. Maybe when we play the band, you might not feel too great about that. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a lovely day. So what do we got here? Nolan, what's the song?
That was Sinful Love.
Yeah, they were actually considered hard rock.
Blue Oyster Cult was?
Not by the Bob Haney measure of hard rock. Then again, I like Rat, love Rat, as a matter of fact, and Motley Crue. But they're like the Beatles compared to Blue Oyster Cult, in my opinion. See, I did it. I apologize. Enough!
Well, I picked a good one to start. I wanted some
nice
energy.
Buck Dharma can play a little bit. I'm not a guitar player, but people that I know say he's okay.
I mean, that was pretty good coming in.
It was all right. All right. No more criticizing. Just turn it up louder because it's got to be loud for me to dig it. You know what I mean? It's like a turn it up Tuesday. Because if it's coming in all low volume, it's like elevator music. Then you rank it up or crank it up, and then maybe I'll feel it more. How's that sound?
I want the people to be able to hear you as well. You're not drowning out sports talk.
Well, all right. I don't want to complain about the music, and I'm not doing it any longer. I promise you, everyone. Until the next song. We'll see how it goes. But let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. You want to hear something from Blue Oyster Cult? Hey, man, give me some ear candy. Send it to the Plaza for text line. Ravens, their season's over. Mark Andrews made a statement via social media, which we're going to talk about. And then, of course, the championship games coming up Sunday. You can hear them both on 105.7 The Fan after Maryland takes on Indiana on the road. Let's go to Harry in Owings Mills. Harry, thanks for holding. What's happening?
No problem. Good morning, Bob, Vinny, Nolan. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Let me start by saying this. As a federale, I'm going to have to go back into the office every day, so my time to be able to call a radio station will be limited. I'll have to do it on holidays, federal holidays, as well as any time that I take off. So
well, we won't be here then. Because we get the same things off.
Right. So your 32-hour work weeks are over.
No, actually, I've been doing more than that. Believe me, it's working as hard, even at home. Okay, so I'll certainly call in as often as I can, certainly on my days off.
Or hit the fun house. That's always good, too.
Absolutely. And wanted to talk about the Maryland game. I was very pleased. My first thought was, okay, why haven't they played like this all season long? And I get it. Part of it is the big man was out for Illinois. But I looked at the Maryland games, I was like, where's the use of the consistent use of the ball screen and the high-low? And they did all that last night. And Juju did a great job of, you know, sealing his man and just, you know, really posting up. And he went strong to the basket and everything was fantastic. But let's also take a look at, on the defensive side, the defensive rotations were so much
all
better.
All game long for 40 minutes.
Now, they did have their moments, and I'll point specifically to the one where Rodney Rice left the guy, because the cardinal rule in basketball is you never leave the person with the ball. He left the guy and let him shoot a three-pointer, and he made it.
Yeah.
And I was screaming at the television. The words weren't so nice last night when I said it, but I couldn't understand quite what he was doing. But I am very pleased with what they're doing. I'm hoping, and I understand the high-low game, but it's much easier if you have a big that can shoot a 17-footer, so you really pull him up to create space so the other big can take control down in the post. So let's see what happens with that going forward. But, Vinny, I did have one question I wanted to ask you. In terms of this offensive lineman that the Commanders lost, is he a huge loss for them, or can they pretty much have somebody else that can they can plug and play with?
Well, let me just say this, that whenever you lose a starter and then you got to play your backup, there's a drop-off. I mean, just look at any team. Look at the Ravens. If you had, you know, let's just say Rosengarten was out. You know, like Cosme. Cosme's out.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, so if the drop-off from 1 to 2 is pretty drastic. So advantage the opposite team. So advantage Philly there, you know, because they've got some guys that they're going to try. They're going to take advantage of it. Let me just say that.
So do you believe this drop-off would probably, maybe with the guy starter in there, they really have a good shot of winning, but you think it really kind of takes them out of the opportunity to win this game?
No, not at all, because you got a quarterback that can move. So, I mean, you look at Lamar. I mean, the Ravens' offensive line at the beginning of the year wasn't good. So what do you got to do? You got to compensate. I mean, we're going to talk about the Chiefs in a minute. They haven't had a left tackle all year. So Mahomes, all right, he's smart enough to adjust. You got to get rid of the ball quicker. You know, you said everybody talks, well, the Chiefs don't get the ball down the field. Well, they're smart because they don't have time to get it down the field. So, I mean, that's the thing. So will it change how Cliff Kingsbury probably calls plays, or he has to chip with things? Sure.
Yeah, Cosme's out. It looks like you're looking at their depth chart. Trent Scott will step in at guard.
Never heard of him. You know, and Bob, I mean, you know who's going to be right over him.
Oh, Carter?
Yeah.
I mean, that could be Mike Webster or anybody you want, or John Hanna. But, yes, that's a big blow for sure. All right, let's get back to the phones. 410-583-1057. Maryland wins last night by 21, impressively over Illinois. 62 points in the paint as Queen and Julian Reese were brilliant. And how about Julian Reese been outstanding. Queen gets all the pub, and rightfully so. He's a projected first-round pick. But Julian Reese has been great this season for the most part. Let's go to PT and Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm with you, Bob. Julian Reese, he really is an NBA talent. You know, he's got that 6'9", 6'10", size. Great feet. He can move really well, block shot. Does everything you would want except for shoot the three. But as a freshman at Maryland, he was actually not a terrible three-point shooter. So, I mean, he's definitely going to get an NBA look. So, but, yeah, you're right. I mean,
well, he starts shooting threes to impress the NBA, like, next game. Kevin Willard's not going to be real happy with that. Let's just say that one.
No, and you know I'm not a huge – my deal with Willard is look at his record and how he's done in the postseason. But Bob, I'm with you, man. Listen, the guy can coach defense. Like, he's the best – he's one of the best defensive coaches in college basketball. And the proof of that – and your last caller was right. That one play, Rodney Rice, it's like he was drunk or something.
And then Miguel put the camel clutch on the dude. And they got the flagrant one. Like, what are you doing? Because he was about to get blown by, and I guess they might have got an easy hoop. So he gives them the whip around the neck. They get two foul shots and possession. That was kind of a dumb play. I think Maryland was up 9 at that time, too.
Right. No, they still have their moments.
Yeah, no doubt.
A lot of talent. Right. But there's a heck of a lot of, I mean, Queen's going to be a first round pick. And the neat thing about Gillespie is he's not really what the NBA is looking for, but he could be a first team Big Ten kid. I mean, it's a beautiful looking shot. He's a smart kid. He moves the ball around. So there's really a heck of a lot to like about this Maryland team. But good night, man. You've got to show up Sunday.
No doubt. And follow it up, PT, as you know, against Bloomington or Indiana and Bloomington, where that's a team that's teetering right now. Illinois beat them by 30 in Bloomington just a couple of weeks ago. But, yeah, great win. impressive performance by most of the players, and defensively, and you mentioned it. Walt Williams said it yesterday. How do you stop losing streaks on the road? Bring your defense with you. Right, you might struggle offensively, but if you play hard defensively, they did, and they kept Illinois off the offensive glass, where they're one of the best teams in the country there. That was impressive for sure.
Right, but Illinois turns it over, and Indiana turns it over big time. So it's a nice setup for us, but you just got to bring the effort and bring it home. The one question I want to ask you guys, I guess Vinny specifically, is that, and Buffalo didn't practice outside either, but Harbaugh's decision not to practice outside was at Friday because the field was frozen. I mean, listen, and this is something that Baltimore needs to hear. You're not going to hire a better coach than Harbaugh, but he's not flawless. And I, you know what I mean? If there was a lock where you would hire Bill Belichick and da-da-da-da-da, but we're not going to do better than Harbaugh, so let's ride with him. But I do want to ask Vinny if you think that was a good decision or not to not practice, I guess in hindsight, with the three turnovers.
Hey, thanks, PT.
I don't, you know, the week before they played in the cold. Cleveland game, it was freezing cold, you know.
It's cold in Baltimore.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, I don't think that was not why Lamar fumbled the ball. That, you know, I mean, the ball was slick. That's fine. I mean, for the last 3 weeks, like Bob said, it has been cold here.
Yeah.
And they have been practicing outside. So, no, they knew what was coming.
And they played in inclement weather before, so it was just...
The week before.
It was just an unfortunate, what do they call it, Nolan? Unfortunate...
coincidence?
No, circumstances. Oh. A buildup of circumstances. I'm trying to look for a word for... I should have just said it's an unfortunate buildup of circumstances. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, because they couldn't get it done in Buffalo. The Bills, they're off to GEHA Stadium. Arrowhead taking on the Chiefs, getting two. Vinny's film study coming up at 10:45. But if you're on the phones, want to talk about the Terps win last night, talk about the Ravens season coming to an end, and how about Mark Andrews saying, yeah, it sucked. It should have just said, it sucked. I feel horrible. What more do you want from me? Looks like Vinny P. Carroll's going to the Raiders.
Yep, I think it's a good hire. Because I think what Pete's going to do is bring either – an OC or a DC to kind of also learn to be a head. Look at all the dudes that Pete put in. Quinn's coaching in the Final Four.
Yes, he
That's
is.
That's a Pete guy. So Pete's had a lot of guys that have gone on to become coach. I mean, didn't he have Lane Kiffin at USC? Yeah, I believe so, didn't he?
I can't remember.
He had,
I think Lane replaced
Sark.
Him, if I'm not mistaken.
He had Sark out there. So he's developed some good coaches.
Yeah, Pete Carroll, you know, coach in the NFL with Seattle, and had took the Patriots to the playoffs with Scott Zolak way back when, former Terp, by the way. So Pete Carroll at 73, I believe, 3-year deal with an option for a fourth, really?
And he, yeah, take him to 77.
Oh, boy.
So he is a high, high energy dude. I've worked with him. He was, Bob, when I was a freshman at Iowa State, Pete Carroll was their secondary coach.
So is he, the Brady influence appears to be obvious here.
Yes. Oh, Brady did, yes.
Is Carroll a delegator, or is he more hands-on in game plans and things like that? Because they're still kind of hurting for talent in Las Vegas.
Pete is going to delegate. Now, when I was with him in San Fran, he was our DC. And Pete, he can't sit still. I mean, he's always got to be on the move, Bob. I mean, we'd sit in draft meetings, and he'd sit in the draft meeting bouncing a basketball the whole time or throwing it up against the wall.
Oh, one of those guys.
Yes.
Like Pete Maravich. All right, let's get out to the phones. Pete Carroll looks like finalizing a deal, head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Terps win last night convincingly. Ravens season is over, but Mark Andrews sent out a social media post talking about how horrible he feels and how hard he works, which nobody's denying that. It's the immediate. You know, maybe just nip it in the bud after the game, or at least when you're cleaning out your locker, because we all knew what he was going to say. It sucks. I feel terrible. But he did it 3 days later. Do you feel better about that? That he admitted that he feels like crap, even though we already knew that he did. Let's go to Ed in Arbutus. Ed, what's up?
Bob, Vinny, good morning to
morning.
You, gentlemen.
Yep.
Just throwing out some thoughts today. Lifetime Terps fan, convincing start-to-finish victory last night. Triple threat point guard with all the tools. High post and low post, dominant bigs, two wings who can score. Team full of high-energy hustle, both ends of the court. Illinois caught in a mismatch. I really like this Terps team, Bob.
Yeah, Gillespie's a junior, too. He's got another year of eligibility. And Rice is a sophomore. Reese has an extra year if he chooses to come back. Because we're going to assume that Queen's moving on to greener pastures, meaning money.
I just like the hustle of this team.
No doubt.
Vinny, your analysis on punt return fundamentals yesterday, spot on. Eyes in the air with people bearing down full speed. It's a double-edged sword. No doubt vulnerable job of difficulty, but valuable if players can perfect it, of which we've seen over the years with a guy like Johnny Rogers, Tim Brown, Deion Sanders. State of the O's. Two big voids not to be ignored. Number one, ace pitcher is a primary trade need acquisition now until homegrown arms can ripen to that role. But they have to heal first. Second thing is an unknown. Will a young candidate hitter emerge in-house above the rest to assume middle batting order run producer? That's a void right now. If these two things are not secured, the Orioles will retrograde. The other division teams are incrementally better on paper as it exists right now. And last thing today, attaboy to Mark Andrews. That's it, gentlemen. Enjoy the games.
All right, Ed, thank you very much. Championship games coming up. Mark Andrews in a tough situation. 58 million people, whatever it was, 48, watched me just totally crap my pants in a situation where I'm one of the more reliable guys in those situations. But as people have pointed out, in the playoffs, he's a different guy.
Yep.
It's regular season Andrews, touchdown a week. Playoff Andrews,
more drops than
touchdowns.
Well, a lot more drops than touchdowns.
Yeah,
and critical drops. I mean, critical drops throughout. So, yeah, I'm sure it was tough for him. But, you know, after the game, Lamar, that was the most animated we had seen him long time. So he was frustrated as hell, too.
Sure.
You know.
But he, you can look at whatever video clip you choose to watch. Tired of this bleep and this bleep that. He was referring to himself.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So, I mean, you could spin it, but I guess there was probably inside like, all right, I'll take this one, but you know who I'm talking about here, too. Because he did throw a pick, and he did fumble, and we can sit here and say, well, he ran the wrong route, this, that, and the other. Still an interception.
Yeah.
And he only threw four during the regular season.
But the thing about it is, you know, like Harbs and Eric – when you're sitting up there like that, he's back on your team. You got to defend him. You know, I mean, you can't. You know, when those two are sitting in a room together, they're probably saying, you know, if that MF-er would have caught that ball, you know, I promise you, because that's I know, trust me, that's what most people would have been doing.
I think most people watching the game were saying all that for sure.
Yeah.
Now with the Orioles, Ed, real quick, you want that ace pitcher for trade? Well, how about maybe the most likely in-house candidate to provide power, Heston Kjerstad, might be the guy that goes in the trade. And remember, a year ago at this time, January 24th, 2024, Jackson Holliday was the number one prospect in baseball. He's still on the team. And boy, watch out for him. Lem 15, Alexander Ovechkin, getting closer to the great one. And the Caps are just, it's unbelievable what is going on down at D.C. with that hockey club. We'll get into all of that during the whip and crazy stuff happening in the NBA and college hoops as well. And historically in the world of sports, Keith Kavanaugh, TerribleTimes.com. Talk about last night's Maryland win. How do they follow it up against Indiana Sunday at noon? A game you can hear on the Fan. It is on national television, too. CBS. So Terps on the Fan and on national TV and everything else in between, you know, like the championship games of football. And we'll do our predictions for that and how our balls will break it down later in the show, but let's get out to the phones. Vinny's film breakdown of the AFC Championship game coming up at 11:45 because we've got a lot of people rolling, which means the fun house gets preempted, at least for that hour. Trey and Joppa. Trey, thanks for holding. How you feeling?
Feeling good, fellas. Feeling good. How y'all feeling?
Good.
All right.
Couple points. I called in last week two times, gave my thoughts on how the Bills, I thought, should attack the read option in particularly. And what they did is what I suggested. They sold out on Derrick Henry, and they said, Lamar, you're going to have to run the ball. And whether it was Lamar that wasn't willing to do that or the Ravens getting into their own head and saying, we're just not going to call the play because we don't want to put him at that risk, whatever the case, it happened. It worked. So I was right on that. Number two, Mark Andrews. I've been calling this show for years. I have tweets on my Twitter from August 2022 saying we should have traded him. Vinny, I'm surprised that you, to be honest, being a GM, that you couldn't see likely was going to be better than him. I mean, you had his replacement right there. The time to trade Mark, 2022, when his value was the highest. And the reason, main reason I wanted to trade him wasn't because I don't like Mark, not because I don't think he's a good player. In fact, at the time, I thought he, like I said, his value was the highest. We could have used the edge rusher back then. We could have used maybe another tackle. We could have used some more free money to spend here, there, or anywhere else. It's other reasons to trade a player, not just because you want to get him out of town. Sometimes you need to acquire some other things. I could see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, but usually you don't trade a guy at 25 years old when you just paid him. And, you know, with Todd Monken's offense, using two tight ends, they do that a lot. And then back then, he was the main dude, man. They didn't have any receivers, you know. So I would not have traded him then. I mean, I wouldn't have even thought about trading him then. I mean, they didn't think about trading. They gave him an extension. So Mark Andrews is still a good player. Likely he's a hell of a player. When you got those two, I mean, it is a huge weapon, you know, and you know what? Maybe if they got a great offer, if somebody's going to give me a fourth round pick for Mark Andrews, I ain't trading him. What am I going to get with a fourth? You know, I'm getting a guy that's going to be a backup for me. Hell no, I ain't doing that. Because you know why? I got my best team next year. I want my best players on the field. And Mark Andrews is one of my best players. And then you know what? After that, we'll deal with it. He's going to be a free agent. Okay.
One more point, and I'll be gone. I've noticed this about the Ravens and Lamar. Lamar's played so good since we got him. The Ravens don't win games when Lamar doesn't play good. If Lamar had Josh Allen's stat line from the game, the Ravens lose games like that.
No, and Josh, Josh, that's the games they win. That's the games they win because you know why? Derrick Henry probably carried it 24 times.
But talk about before Derrick Henry was here. If you look at other Ravens' losses, or you look at their wins, Lamar's name is all over it. We haven't figured out a way, or Lamar hasn't figured out a way, to win those ugly games when Lamar's not playing at an MVP level. The Ravens were winless this year when Lamar didn't have to, I think when he didn't have a 114 passer rating. You mean to tell me I got to have a 114 for us to win, guys?
All right, Trey. Trey and Joppa. Bringing a smoke. Mark Andrews and likely combined for 17 touchdowns this year. And they're all free agents, Andrews and Kohler next year. So, yeah. And DaCosta, Vinny, you were there. DaCosta said, we like our tight end room. We think it's the best in football.
Yeah. And are they going to add one? I would think they will, just because of what you just said. You know, your chances of resigning Kohler, probably you'd get that done. Resigning likely, you definitely want to get that done because I agree. After the catch, likely catches that damn ball. I mean, you rarely, I'm trying to remember, a likely drop.
He fumbled at the end of the half against Pittsburgh.
Right. But, you know, like the sliding catch he makes in the end zone.
Great
you know,
play.
Yeah, I mean,
great play
I, love,
by the quarterback,
like, I love likely as a player.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Nolan says we have time for one more call. Bob at Edgewater. Bob, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Hey, Trace stole some of my thunder here. But, Vinny, you had said the other day that likely being number one, he wouldn't have the same success. I'm paraphrasing. Or something to that effect.
No, I don't think I said that.
Run the tape back. He said something to that effect. I could be wrong, but here's the point. John Harbaugh said Andrews got us to where we were at Buffalo, blah, blah, blah. But last year, the guy was injured, and they won more games last year and got to the AFC Championship. So I agree with Trey. I say trade him this year, and I'm not down on Mark because he dropped the ball and blew the game. I'm not about that. Vinny, I took your approach like you were saying when you were angry. But I say, here's what I say, gentlemen. Trade him this year. Get whatever you can get, Vinny. I don't care if it's a fourth or a fifth. And you know what I'm going to say? You're going to be throw in, what's his face? The running back who's just got back this year, too. What's his name? I can't even think of his name.
Keaton Mitchell?
Yeah, throw him in.
And a trade?
You know why? It's just like, it's like the Orioles. You got to lose players to get players, right?
But what do you want to get? What do you want to get?
Well, let me finish. Here's what we're trading him for, Vinny, and I don't know what the free agent market looks like. And Trey hit on this. We need a pass edge rusher. We don't have one. Never had one. What's his face is a bust.
No, time out one second. Did you hear? Yeah, Jumbo.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
All right, if you were listening to the show, Tuesday at like 1:30, and you heard Ryan Wilson talk, and Ryan Wilson is a draft dude, and Ryan Wilson said it is a lot of edge rushers in the draft this year. And sitting at 27, you can get one at 27.
Yeah, and the Ravens, even though they finished second in sacks, if you want to get to the breakdown of the stats, they were 29th in win rate. So it's not like they were best there. You have Adisa Isaac as their hope there. David Ajabo, we're 3 years in. Injury plagued years. Are you happy with him? Hey, oh, yeah, 11 sacks, count the playoffs?
And just look at like the draft at you saying 27. Now the Rams, the first kid's a second round pick.
He's a stud.
Yeah. So I mean, you can find a guy there, and it's supposedly real deep. And we'll get into that, you know, a month from now.
Probably Tuesday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. We'll talk more Ravens. Joe DeShaffer from the Baltimore Banner. His impressions of the end-of-season press conference. Now the offseason begins. What about Mark Andrews? Is he trade bait? And if he's in the walk year of his deal, I mean, who's trading for him? I'm sure he wants an extension.
Then you gotta get,
this ain't basketball where you wind your way out of town. Whip around left 15. Keith Kavanaugh talks about Maryland's big win last night at Illinois and then going to Indiana on Sunday. And Maryland football, how's that portal working for old Loxley there?